You're listening to the Missionary Perspective Podcast with veteran missionaries Eric Johnson and Joshua Mead. We're glad you could join us. We trust this podcast will be both a blessing and a challenge as we relate topics in world evangelism from a missionary perspective. Now, here's Josh and Eric.
Welcome to the Missionary Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Johnson, and I am joined once again by my new friend, Pastor Dennis Harry, the pastor of the Needham's Grove Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. Pastor Harry joined me earlier. We had a podcast where we got to know him a little better, and we got to know about his chosen vessel pottery, one of our favorite new things we have. My wife and I are one of his mugs. And if you haven't listened to that podcast where Pastor describes how the Lord directed him to that part of the country and gave him that love for pottery, and also talking about his podcast with his wife, Better Together, with his wife, Lori, another podcast you need to check out, also The 5-Minute Marriage. So we talked about that in the first episode. We encourage you to download and get connected. Now, to this next episode we have with Pastor is going to be kind of a role reversal. I'm going to ask him a few questions. It's kind of a dual podcast, okay? And he's going to ask me some questions because the topic we have at hand today is how to improve our relationships and communication between churches and their missionaries. And Pastor's a pastor in the States. We're missionaries here on the field, and he's got some questions for us. But, you know, communication is one of the most important things in any relationship. In fact, we were talking about this with Pastor. We were talking about his marriage podcast. We know in marriage that communication is very important, but really good communication is important in any relationship and never more present and relevant in a missionary and their supporting churches. You know, when we think about what the Bible says about missionaries communing with their home churches or their supporting churches, I think of that verse in the book of Acts where Paul returns from his first missionary journey. In Acts 14:27, the Bible says, and when they, talking about Paul and his band, had come together and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed or they explained all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's the first time you see a missionary coming home from his first missionary journey, coming on furlough and explaining what God had done so that those believers back home would understand what's going on. And so today, Pastor has a lot of questions, some about our communication while we're on the field, but a lot of it just about a missionary and maybe the home church perspective, wanting to know, the pastor's perspective, wanting to know what a missionary goes through when he goes to the different churches. If you haven't noticed, churches in America are different. Even independent Baptist churches, they all have their unique stamp, the unique, you know, thumbprint, and everyone is unique. And so with that in mind, Pastor, I know you communicate with a lot of missionaries. Well, what's been your primary way that you communicate with your missionaries that you support?
So I'll just start off by saying, Eric, how much I appreciate the privilege of being here on the podcast with you. My heart as a pastor truly is with our missionaries, and I appreciate the privilege of being able to partner with y'all. I know we as a church don't support you yet. Lord willing, that's coming. But we partnering with you on this podcast and recognizing the work that God is doing there in your ministry there in the Dominican. So I count it a privilege to be able to partner with missionaries. When I had a podcast years ago called Let's Talk Church, inevitably some of our most well-received episodes were episodes where I had missionaries on, and we talked about the local church missions relationship. So, you know, I have found in the 19 years that I've been in pastoral ministry that communication between a pastor, between the local church and the missionary, it goes both ways. And I think it's really easy as pastors to sit in our offices and to say, well, I wish the missionaries would communicate better with us, but then we're not actively communicating with them. And it's vice versa. It's easy for missionaries to do the same. So that's the first lesson I've learned, is that communication between a local church and the missionaries is a two-way street. I'll start off by saying I have learned, especially in the most recent years, that the stage for proper communication is often first set by the missionary. And what I mean is, when a missionary seeks out to communicate with a pastor in a way that extends the opportunity to develop a relationship, it automatically sets us down that path. I can't make a missionary communicate that way with me. In fact, often I get emails that say, Pastor Harry, I got your name and email address. We are in the States raising support. And by the way, I don't know these missionaries at all. Never met them, never heard of them. And we're going to be in your area on Sunday, December the 5th. Can we come and present our ministry? And it's like, I don't, you know, for us to invite a missionary in, like, I want to know that you're a right fit for our church. And are we going to partner together? And, you know, I wouldn't invite a person into my church to just preach. And so I wouldn't do the same for a missionary as well. But when a missionary says, hey, Pastor Harry, I'm going to be in the area in December. I would love to go out and get some coffee. Can we meet? Can I stop by the office? Can I tell you what the Lord's doing? And Eric, there's not one missionary that I have met at a coffee shop that we do not support.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, seriously.
Are you listening, missionaries?
I'm sorry. Let me back up. There's one we don't support. Okay.
Okay.
But for the most part.
This guy likes coffee.
I should have thought through that. I do like coffee.
It's okay, Pastor. We understand.
that relationship is so important. It's so important because it allows you to begin developing a friendship type ministry relationship. We have a missionary that is being sent out of our church right now. His name is Daniel Darling. He and his family are going to Spain. Daniel has intentionally reached out to pastors and said, hey, can I take you out to breakfast? Hey, can we go get coffee? And the majority of his meetings have come that way. So that sets the stage for good communication. But then I would say that then the pastor has to then take up that take those reins. And good communication has to come from the local church pastor. If I expect missionaries to take my ministry seriously as a partner in ministry, then I have to extend that partnership, not just a paycheck, but I have to extend a partnership. And so it's something you have to really work hard on between the missionary and pastor, but it is so worth it when your missionaries come home on furlough and they step into your church and they say, they're able to stand in front of your people and they say, I know you're praying for me because I've gotten your emails, I've gotten your cards, I've gotten your phone calls, your pastor has reached out. Thank you for your support for our ministry. We really have communicated that well. So yeah, it's something we have to work hard at as a church.
And, you know, just the obvious thing is that communication now, there's really no excuse. I mean, 15, 20, 30 years ago, missionaries, you know, we know good missionaries were in the field in Africa, you know, 40 years ago, and they wouldn't get any correspondence for months. Nowadays, in the most remote jungles, you can usually get a hold of somebody. So communication is really, like you said, on those people's shoulder. Now, Pastor, you had some questions today that we were going to consider.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thank you for letting me have the opportunity to ask you these questions, Eric.
Absolutely.
I remember we had a missionary, Amit Hernandez, that I sat down and I questioned once in a format like this, a missionary, Nate Beale, that I questioned in a format like this. And I love being able to ask good questions. So I've got a list of five questions. Are you okay, Eric, if I just go through them? All right.
Let's go.
Fantastic. All right. So first question, and I think this would be helpful for new missionaries, Eric, that are on deputation and are visiting church after church, where when you step on campus, there's the real pressure to, and I'll use the word conform, but I don't mean that in a bad way. The reality is we want to fit in the ministry that we're at. I will ask my question. I'm going to preface it by giving an example. So when missionaries come to our church and they get here on a Saturday and we invite them over to our house to eat, often my wife and I will walk over to the prophet's chamber first, in our casual clothes. So the missionaries see us in casual clothes. And then when we walk out, the wife and the husband look at each other and they say, let's change. And they put on their casual clothes. Okay. That's intentional. Like, I want our missionaries to know they don't have to put on airs to impress us. Yeah. But I know there's pressure from a missionary. I'm sure you felt that. So my question to you, Eric, for the younger missionaries is, how do you deal with that pressure to conform without becoming hypocritical, like going church after church? How did you deal with that as a family and as a missionary?
Well, number one thing is, and this is the thing that I think anyone who's going to go on deputation and furlough. Now, the missionary call is something different, but we're talking about actually this idea of going before people and presenting yourself, we'll say. You have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to be clear on your convictions and who you are. And obviously, you have to be willing to say, well, that is totally fine for someone to be that way. This is our conviction, who I am. And to be very relaxed about it. Relaxed was a great word you used. So, but it is second nature, one, because you're usually looking for support. I mean, that's let's be clear. That's why we're visiting most churches, unless you're an evangelist or doing a missions conference. You know, you're looking for support, so you want to be pleased. But I think it really has a lot to do with being clear. The reason I say that is that we have seen missionaries in the field who, the kindest way to say it was, they said they were going to maybe do one thing, and then obviously did not necessarily do the other. And we want our children to be able to ask us questions about our convictions, why we believe what we believe, and be confident in that. And so it is a very difficult thing. I'm probably not giving the clearest answer. I think the key part is being very clear who you are and what you and your wife believe. You've probably chosen your mission organization and your home church based on those convictions. But at the same time, understanding how many people think differently about different things. And if it's not a point of contention, how we all can work together for the gospel. And so I think maybe because we came from a church where that wasn't really a problem, we tended to be in circles where that didn't come up as often, if that's the easiest way to say it.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, with our family, as growing up in pastoral ministry, our children, we had to face that same thing to an extent in the ministries we've been in. And I always think about Paul's encouragement that he had to be all things to all men.
But that
doesn't mean that we put on a hypocritical face.
Another mask.
And we become something different. As a family, we still were what we were. We just recognized when we're on this missions trip and we're ministering at this church, we're going to honor the dress style or the clothing standard or the music style. We're going to honor that. It doesn't change who we are. I think too often children grow up in either a pastor's home or a missionary's home on deputation, and they always feel like they're having to change who they are. And I think that can be long-term detrimental for our ministry children when they think that we're becoming hypocritical. So I know that's a pressure that sometimes families face.
I'll add this because now you got me thinking, you know, I think that's a key factor is your kids. You know, we often will have get-togethers with people who may have a little bit higher standard in certain areas of certain things. And we try to explain to them very adult-like, like, this is why, because we care about them and we wouldn't want them to feel uncomfortable. And so we're doing this out of love and vice versa. And so I think, you know, explaining things to your kids, being clear on your convictions. And I think a lot of that can kind of, you feel better and more comfortable in difficult situations.
Sure. All right. Second question, Eric. About 2 weeks ago, I'm on a couple of different pastor and missionary Facebook groups. And there was a question that was raised. And oh, let me tell you, Eric, it was contentious. Oh, my goodness. Imagine that. Pastors and missionaries being contentious. And the topic was, it was a comment that someone had made about missionaries that had canceled coming to a mission. I'm sorry, missionaries that had adjusted their their reservation, or they had called the pastor, and instead of the whole family coming, just the missionary was coming. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they were coming to missions conference, and instead of the missionary and his wife and their three kids coming, just the husband was coming. And the pastor was pretty upset about that, mm-hmm. that he had put a lot of work. And let me pause. I mm-hmm. understood his pain because sure. he pastors a church of 200 and he's the only pastor. I'm in the same mm-hmm. boat he's in. I get it.
A lot of work.
A lot of work. And he had put a lot of work into it. So I understand his frustration. Totally get that. But it created this conversation in the comments where people were taking sides. And I thought what we were missing is we were missing the grace. Mm-hmm. And the grace is missionaries are traveling with families on deputation and furlough, and that is difficult. So help me as a pastor understand how we can best serve missionaries that have children, whether it's on deputation or furlough.
Well, this is really funny because a little bit inside baseball here. We're recording a number of podcasts on the same day. You will listen to these at different times. But Josh Mead, my co-host, and I actually just had this question because our podcast we did this morning was about missions conferences, do's and don'ts. And we talked a lot. There's actually a large segment talking about this very specific topic. Now, this is kind of what Josh, in a synopsis, Josh and I kind of came to. And the reason this is relevant is because Josh is actually home on a one-year furlough right now. And he's going to a lot of the conferences and meetings by himself because his kids, who are normally homeschooled on the mission field, are actually in school. They're enrolled in his local home church school. This is the synopsis, what I would say. Number one is the missionary should always be in communication with the pastor, and they need to be in agreement. It doesn't really matter what the situations, other than obviously sickness. We all understand that. So number one, you need to ask the pastor. It doesn't really matter how you feel about everything. There needs to be an agreement amongst that. My opinion is if it's deputation, you should take your family. Because deputation, you're getting to know the missionary family. It's not really mm-hmm. fair, I think, in a way, if there's a say in our example, we have my wife and our four kids, for the church to be expected to take the missionary family on, really having to know just the husband. And so sure. I think it's just a general rule. If it's deputation, the whole family should be committed to doing that, to going and getting to know the church family. Furlough is a different story. Everyone's different. Some people do homeschool while they're on furlough. Like Josh's case, they have they're enrolled in school. And I think that's where communication comes with a previous understanding. The missionary is able to lay it out to the pastor and say, here's the scenario. You know, if you really want to see our family, maybe I can't come to the missions conference. I can come this other time or a weekend. But I think a lot of that can be averted. It's not a good look for the missionary if it was understood or implied that the whole family would be there and he doesn't show up with his family. And so I just think communication is really the key in that area.
Sure. Yeah, that makes total sense. And there have been many times where a missionary could not bring their family to our church. And we understand, but it is nice when that's communicated. But I will back up and say, as a church, our people love getting to know our missionaries.
Yes.
And if it's just the husband, you do miss out on the flavor of the family. And if Eric,
I had just gone to your church by myself, you guys would not have got to know us.
And I would also say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's also kind of hard to know if a pastor is really equipped to minister as a church planter, as a pastor, if you don't see his family. I mean, from a theological perspective, 100%. You know, because you have to rule your house well, and you can't see that if you don't see the family. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. So let's jump to question number. Okay. I'm going to skip to question number four. If we have time, I'll come back to the other one. So right. Question number four, very practical question regarding physical prayer letters versus digital. And I don't know, is this something that y'all talk about as missionaries? Do y'all discuss that?
You say
that?
Physical, I mean like snail mail opposed to just having it in PDF? Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So my question then is, what are you finding is working best? And what responses do you get between those two? And then I'll follow up with that. I've got a follow-up question with that as well.
Okay. Well, the simple thing is, because you're writing it you're writing it in a PDF format that you're going to send out on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and then send out an email format to some people. You also can just forward that on, in our case, to our mission organization, in which case they will print it out and send the churches, which the number is dwindling now that want an actual physical copy. But sure. As you know, there are a lot of old school churches and they like to have the missionary letter. Maybe they don't like to go out and find an email and print it out. They want it sent to it. And that is not a problem. A lot of older couples want it physically sent to them individually. We do that. Mm-hmm. I have found this, though, because we try to put a lot of content of what's going on in the ministry on our Facebook feed and I guess Twitter sometimes, but mostly Facebook, like with videos and baptisms and what's going on. Mostly that's what's happening on our Facebook page. That when the prayer letter gets out a month or two later, most people who follow us on Facebook kind of already know what's going on.
Sure.
It's really people who don't pay attention to us kind of, oh, that's what's going on in the response. So it, usually even the digital prayer letter is even a couple steps beyond people who are already paying attention to what's going on in the ministry.
Sure. So here's my follow-up question then. Whenever we get prayer letters, I do my best as often as I can to reach back out to the missionary, and it's normally mm-hmm. through a text, whether mm-hmm. it's on Messenger or it's actually normally Messenger or WhatsApp. Mm-hmm, and I just mm-hmm. say, hey, read your prayer letter, praying for this situation. Let me know how things are going. Okay. And often I'll get missionaries will respond back and, or when they come back from the field and they'll say, you know, how rarely they get mm-hmm. responses. So my question is for us as pastors, what can we do better? What are some things we can do better in regards to making those prayer letters impactful for not just our people, but to grow communication with the missionaries?
Well, that's a great question. I understand that every pastor's load is different and ministry is different. Sometimes there are multiple, you know, quote unquote pastors. There's a missions pastor, things like that. When we hear back from people, it's always encouraging, even if it's simple as, hey, great job, or praise the Lord, or, you know, like you said, praying for that. I think communication like that, simple, is great. We probably don't go a week without two or three different churches writing us, asking for a picture or asking mm-hmm. for, you know, a prayer request because we're going to read your prayer letter on Wednesday night church. I think that's great. That's never a bother. I try to always flag those. If I fail to get back, I feel really bad. I try to deal with them right away because that means a lot to us, because people are praying for us intentionally. It's not just another name on the wall, which we're glad for churches to have, you know, 50, mm-hmm. 100 missionaries. That just means they love missionaries. But when they're intentionally taking time, whether it be a secretary or a person who's, you know, adopted us or a pastor, that means a lot. And so that is a great avenue. I think asking a lot out of the missionary, like if it's more than prayer requests, you know, they can back up, you know. I actually on my desktop keep our family picture because it, like two or three times a week people are asking for the picture and I just drag it in there. Does this work for you? And that's basically how it goes. And we're glad that people are thinking of us, but you know, it just makes my life easier that way.
Sure. Sure. Hey, so another question. Often missionaries can get caught up in the middle of Christian cultural issues, Christian cultural disagreements. And so mm-hmm. I'm talking about within the culture of the church. Mm-hmm. And so Eric on this podcast and for me personally, I'm not taking a position on any of these, but often it comes down to dress, music mm-hmm. style, or Bible mm-hmm. version. Okay. So mm-hmm. one of those three. How do missionaries relate to and interact with churches without feeling like they're caught in the middle of those cultural issues? I know that has to be wearing on you when those issues flare up. For example, I think about the Bible version issue, mm-hmm. which, you know, we use the King James version, yeah. but I have dear brothers that don't, and I'm, you know,
sure.
it is what it is. But yet in a country that speaks Spanish, you now have the added conversation of what version are you using? And so native English speakers who don't know a lick of Spanish will be very opinionated about what Bible you're using. How do you not get in the middle of all of that?
Well, it's very interesting. Those issues were maybe more prevalent when we were on deputation for about a year and a half. You would try to do your best to maybe, before you got to the church, kind of, you know, see the lay of the land and what's going on at that church. Most of the time, we kind of had an idea on the church we're going to. But if you didn't, for instance, you might do a little bit of research. You want to always be careful because, truthfully, you know, as you've seen probably over your years of being in ministry, and it's difficult to say this, but a lot of like-minded independent Baptist churches don't get along and they don't like each other. And it's really sad. And many of them don't get along, and that yet they all, a lot of them support us. And so that's a very tricky situation. Even like even telling a church where you're going next, that's a very tricky thing. You know, it's sad to say, it's part of it. Mm-hmm. We can't fix it. I think one of the things we try to do, like when you mentioned, like, for instance, the version issue, or obviously King James as well. But a lot of times if I sense someone's kind of trying to get in an aha moment or something, and they'll say, like, what version do you use? I'm like, well, the Reign of Valera, 1960. And they don't see that coming. They're thinking English, you know? And so they're like, what's that? You know, I'm like, well, it's Spanish. We speak Spanish. And a lot of times they're like, oh, okay. And they don't obviously know much about Spanish. And so, you know, because we're with an organization, with BIMI, we have our, you know, obviously our own set standards, and it's very clear. Most people know who we are when we're coming in. But also, like you said, with music is a huge thing. That's a big deal here. The dress standards, the same thing. I think, once again, it's kind of about being confident in the convictions you have, not being judgmental one way or the other, and showing really the people who you are and what you're going to do for the Lord, and if they want to get behind that. And I'll be honest, Pastor, once we got to the field, those kinds of things just go away.
Sure.
They just go away. They aren't really an issue, obviously, on the field here. And we found here on the mission field, even people who aren't Baptists can be your friends, which is amazing. But you always need friends when you're on the mission field. And I wish sometimes people could learn that back home.
All right. Final question. Okay. I think we've got time for it.
Yeah.
It has to do with missions trips. So we went on missions trips when I was a youth pastor, and we went to Mexico. We went to Canada. We hit a point where they were really expensive, and the places, twice the places we were going to go safety-wise, we weren't able to. So we ended up staying in the States, and they weren't really missions trips. They were helping other churches with VBS or something like that. And then I remember not too long after that, a sort of a nationwide conversation, and I don't know who it was, but somebody that had a national platform probably wrote a blog article that said mission trips aren't worth anything. So now everybody was talking about that issue. Do you remember that?
I think I do. And I think I know who said it and was actually preaching it. I do remember.
Okay.
That,
yeah. Well, don't tell me. I don't know who it was.
No. All right.
And so but I remember that was a major conversation. Okay. Now, since then, I have taken my son Andrew to the Philippines. Now, we visited a missionary that was there. I took Emma to Honduras 2 years ago, visited a missionary friend there. And then we are traveling this spring with Medical Missions Outreach, our church. We've got a group of 14, and we're going to Honduras on a medical missions trip. So from your perspective as a veteran missionary, what are the pros and cons of missions trips? Are there certain styles that are not valuable, but certain styles that are very valuable? What is your overall perspective on them?
All right. Well, the first thing is I'll put a plug in. If you go back into, I can't remember which episode it is, but we talk a lot about missions trips. And so I think we spent multiple episodes on this. So we have a much more extensive answer. But the cliff note answer would be really, it's up to the missionary. I think if a missionary understands his ministry, he understands exactly what's going to be beneficial. He understands what can be profitable ministry-wise for them, understanding what he can handle. For instance, we have a mission group coming in just about a week that's going to be doing work on some construction here. We are in this stage of our ministry where we're doing a lot of construction trips. So we're very particular finding out if they know what they're doing, if they want to invest, if they want to be helpful on that, you know? So in that case, it's very helpful. not only the labor, but, you know, the educated labor of those who know what they're doing, the love, the encouragement to the people. So that's wonderful for us. One of the things I also like, we like in the summer times, we have like we call Teen Week, which is like a teen conference every night. And I love when we have American teenagers come to connect with Dominican teenagers. Believe it or not, I've never not seen it happen where they don't just automatically connect. Even though there's a language barrier, they speak the same language as teenagers. And It's always an encouragement. Yet I've had at times in the past where we had like what we call a mixed group, where I have someone who's like 55 and someone who's 45. And they're a lot more hesitant to get in there and talk to some 15-year-old Dominican. And so I've learned over the years for our ministry, that's a great thing. Early on in our ministry, we just really wanted to do track distribution. So people who wanted to go out and hit the streets, I called them living billboards. People who were just out there passing out tracks, like, who are these people? What are they doing? Like, that was beneficial. So a lot of it's stages in your ministry, what you can handle. And the missionary, I believe if you just listen to your missionary, you say, hey, we're thinking about bringing a group. What kind of group could you use? That's really the key. Mission groups are great. Now, I do know guys who don't like mission groups. We like to limit ours to two or three at the most for a year because they are a lot of work. We like to be very meticulous, make sure they're very planned out. They're very safe, like you're mentioning, and that they are beneficial to the ministry because you're basically putting ministry on hold completely to take care of these Americans for a week or so.
Sure.
So
yeah.
They can. Now, listen, I am a missionary because I went on a missions trip. Like the Lord used a missions trip. I had no idea that I'd be a missionary. I went on a men's construction trip to India of all places, and God used that trip to get my heart. And so we also look at it as opportunities. We've seen people called to the ministry through missions trips here. So they are wonderful things. Just listen to your missionary. He'll tell you what's best for them.
Awesome. Well, hey, those are the five questions I have for you, Eric.
Man, that wasn't so hard. Thank you, Pastor. We sure appreciate it. You coming on and doing my job and hosting and interviewing me. I didn't even see that happen.
Awesome.
That's great. So,
yeah, it was
Pastor,
fun.
Thank you so much. I am sure we will have you on again to tackle some other subjects. But
Excellent. Thanks
again for everything. Don't forget, people, Chosen Vessel Pottery. You can find them out on Facebook. Also, the Better Together podcast, The 5-Minute Marriage. Check it out. Pastor Dennis Harry, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Eric.